In the book of Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, and we're also going to look at John chapter 1, verse 29. So in Leviticus, we're going to read it together. It's on the screen. So we're going to read that together. And then afterwards, we'll move on to John chapter 1, verse 29. And the word of the Lord reads as following Leviticus. It says this: "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." Let's move on to John. Wonderful. "The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." On this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject or topic, the ultimate eraser. Can you turn to somebody next to you and just tell them, say, the ultimate eraser. This week was an amazing week for our young people. And somebody said, "Minister Holly, how do you know that this week was an amazing week for our young people?" I know that this week was an amazing week for our young people because they had a day off from school. And anytime the young people get time off of school, that's a good week. And you know, I want you for a second, if you will, just go back in memory lane and think about the time when you were in school. And for some people, math was probably a difficult subject that you had to deal with. Some of you still remember your math teacher. And some of your memory of this teacher might not be good, but there's one thing that I can recall a math teacher always saying. The math teacher will always say this to you: make sure when you're coming to math class, you bring a pencil. Bring a pencil. And sometimes you forget, you go to your locker and grab your pen, you go to class, and you realize you are missing something, your pencil. But then there are those people who sometimes will bring a pencil to class, but there's something missing on the pencil. Something is missing on the pencil. So the teacher comes around and pass out the worksheets and say, "Get going on your assignment." And you start, you know how to always set it up. If those of you who are students, if you don't know this, the teachers, they kind of set you up sometime. They put the real, real easy stuff first, and then they put the hard stuff later, like in the middle somewhere. Uh-huh. So you start off with your non-eraser pen. So you're starting with this non-eraser pencil, and you're starting to do the problem. And at the beginning, you're flying through it, man. 1 + 1 = 2. Come on, somebody. I'm flowing in glory. Then you move on. You move on to the next one. 3 + 1. I got this. 4. Yeah. And then you continue. But then when you get midway in the worksheet, you realize there's a problem that's going to take a little bit more brain cells than you anticipated. You realize that you're going to have to burn some brain cells on this one. And then you start to engage the problem. But as you do the problem, you realize that you have to erase. You have to erase so you can continue to attempt, make effort to do the problem. But then you take your eraser. You say right there. You say, and then you try to, anybody ever try to erase paper without eraser? You know when the eraser is cut all the way down to the bottom? And then you start to erase, and then you look at the paper and say, oh, instead of the eraser, erasing the mark, it created a bigger, 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 dirty mark. Why? Because there's no eraser. And in that moment, as you're sitting in math class, your mind go back to your locker. Ooh! Mommy and daddy love me so much, they took me to the store, and they got me some eraser, and I left the eraser in my locker. There's a need for the eraser in that moment. But you left the eraser in the locker. And you know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we turn to go and forget that our Heavenly Father have already provided for us an eraser. We forget that
God, through the sending and the shedding of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, has given us an ultimate eraser. And we forget. Sometimes we feel as though we can go day in and day out with a little faith. Just a little faith. Now, you have to understand that your faith is actually connected to the magnitude of the eraser that you identify in your life. In other words, if you have a big faith in the blood of Jesus and you believe that the blood of Jesus can blot out, can erase all of your transgression, your faith will be big. Amen. Amen. Somebody turn to someone and say, the ultimate eraser. The ultimate eraser is the blood of Jesus. Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. But do we really, really believe that we are free indeed? Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do we really, really believe that we are no longer condemned? We are a chosen generation. Do we believe that? And what I'm saying to you this morning, church, is that your faith, your belief is going to speak to the amount of eraser. It's going to speak to the recognition of the ultimate eraser in your life. Yeah, yeah. The ultimate eraser. The blood of Jesus Christ. Bible, so, so sweet. I mean, this week, Reverend Jackson, whenever they got me preaching, I got to spend time reading the Bible, man. You can't just come here and say, Sunday morning, let me put a little bacon sandwich together and go feed the people. Nah. You got to spend time in our kitchen making our steak, you know what I'm saying? Cooking the steak, making the rice, the potatoes, and all that good stuff. Cooking a dinner for the people. So I was in the Word and I was reading, just sucking it up. Like, this is good. The ultimate eraser. But you know, this past week, something that happened on Wednesday, the young people had no school. That was a good day. And some of y'all looking at me kind of funny, but you remember when you were in school, and you had no school, that was a good day for you too. That was a good day because you didn't have to go to school to deal with that math teacher or that social studies teacher. You didn't have to go to school. You had time off. And some of you sitting here, when you got no work, it's a good day. This week, our young people had off. And sometimes I wonder, I say, when they give the kids time off, do they actually understand why they're off from school? I guarantee your kids don't care. I know I'm off. Why are you off from school? I don't know, I'm just off. But this week, on Wednesday, this past week, we celebrated what we call what? The Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, it's a historical event for the Jewish people. For those of you who live in a community with a huge Jewish population, whether it be here in Hackensack or in Teaneck, you get off Yom Kippur. Teachers, that's a good thing. Come on, clap. So, and Yom Kippur usually falls in the 7 months of the Hebrew calendar, in a month called Tishrei. Tishrei is a month in which they have two important holidays. The first holiday being Rosh Hashanah, and the second one being Yom Kippur. Now, Rosh Hashanah was celebrated about 2 weeks ago, 17 and 18. We had no school. This past week, we had Yom Kippur, no school again. Good stuff is happening. Amen, amen, amen. So, no school. But the important thing about Yom Kippur is, in biblical times, Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement. It was a day in which the Israelites came before God, and they came before God to seek forgiveness for their sins. And God, in those days, had clear instructions to the people of God in terms of how they were to come into his presence. The Bible lets us know in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, that now Aaron's two sons, they went before the Lord with profane worship. They went before the Lord in a way that God did not instruct them to go. I want us to think for a second. Do we make preparation when we come to a Sunday morning worship? Do we make preparation when we come to a Wednesday night Bible study or Wednesday night prayer meeting? Do we make preparation every time we come into the house of the Lord? Now the Bible says that God gave the Israelites some specific order in which they had to follow when they came before him in worship. But now Aaron's two sons, they went before the presence of the living God, and they did not follow the steps that God called them to. And what the outcome was, that they died on the spot. They died right there. Oh, somebody said, thank God for Jesus. Because if this law was here today, like the way it was back then, oh boy, Reverend Jackson, we'll be having mad funerals. If this law existed today, I guarantee you, there'll be a problem, even with some of us standing with the mic. There'll be a problem. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. So now the Bible says that God spoke to Moses. And when God spoke to Moses, he said to Moses, go to Aaron and give Aaron these instructions. That every time Aaron come before me, he ought to come before me with two kinds of offerings. The first offering he ought to come before me is with the sin offering. Somebody say sin offering. And the sin offering had to come in the form of an animal, a young bull. And Aaron had to bring this offering before the presence of the Lord. And the sin offering was symbolic of the peoples of Israel confession of their sins. Yeah. The sin offering was symbolic of the forgiveness of sin. The sin offering represented that the people were nothing in comparison to a great God. Well, preacher, young man, what are you saying to me? This is what I'm saying tonight. Today, I'm saying that every time we come into the house of the Lord, there has to be a mindset that this thing is not about us. Every time we come to worship, there has to be a mindset that God is everything and we are nothing. But so many times, we enter into a worship experience and we feel as though that is all about us. Truth of the matter is, it's really not about us. Because if we come with confession, we're saying, God, that you are great and you are worthy to be praised in this place. We're nothing. We're looking for you. We're seeking your forgiveness. We're seeking you to come. Come before the Lord and exalt his name. And the second thing that Aaron had to go before the presence of the Lord with, he had to come before the Lord with a burnt offering. And the burnt offering, when I saw this, I was moved by the symbol of the burnt offering. Because the burnt offering is symbolic of our devotion to God. The burnt offering is symbolic of our commitment to God. Every time you come through the house, every time you come into the church, you ought to realize that you're coming because there's a greater commitment to your life. You're not coming because you want to be on Reverend Jackson's best 10 list. You're not coming because of that. You're not coming because you want people to see you doing. Oh, look at that sister. She's so wonderful. Always serving the Lord. She got a lot of Holy Ghost in her. When you come before the Lord, you're coming because there's a greater commitment that you have to your life, and that's to serve the Lord for the rest of your days. So Aaron would come in and he presented a sin offering and a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Lord was pleased. If the Lord was pleased with the offering, Aaron would leave alive. But if God was not happy, guess what? He died. If God was not happy with the offering, they had a funeral. I want you to think for a second. I want you to think for a moment. How do I enter worship? How do I come to service? Do I come with my mind consumed with everything that's about me? Or do I come to worship with a mind consumed with everything that's about God? And so after Aaron would present the sin offering and the burnt offering, the Bible says that Aaron now had to take two goats to go present to the Lord. And one goat was chosen as a sacrificial offering unto the Lord. Then the other goat was used as a scapegoat. The sacrificial offering was used to, it was sacrificed before the Lord as an offering so the sin of the people could be taken away, could be erased. But then the scapegoat was used as a sign that the sin that the people have committed in their village, in their church, as a sign of it actually leaving. So now, if there was a sin committed in the house, this is what Aaron would do. Aaron would bring the goat, and he would take his hands and lay his hands on the goat. And on that goat, he would place all the sins of the Israelites. And after he did that, there was a guy that was chosen to escort the scapegoat into the wilderness. And he took the scapegoat into the wilderness. And then before he could come back into the house, he had to make sure he washed his clothes. He had to make sure he took the clothes off and leave it outside. Because God did not want anything that had to do with the sin to come in his presence. It was a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous form of worship. I know for sure, church, if I lived during this time, I probably wouldn't be here. If I lived during this time period, I'd probably be 6 feet, right? Or in a tomb somewhere. Because that's a pretty tough law to pack to carry out. And so the scapegoat will be taken in place into the wilderness. Reverend Jackson, I was reading this. And when I was reading it, the Holy Spirit just dropped this. What do you say? This, in my sanctified imagination. Yeah. In my sanctified imagination, I thought about the scapegoat being carried out of the village. I thought about the scapegoat being carried out of town. And it was being escorted by a man into the wilderness. And then my mind went back to Calvary. When Jesus was leaving to go to be sacrificed for our sins. The Bible says that the Roman soldier, they escorted him, but while he was carrying the cross, that he could no longer bear the cross, and somebody came along. Thank God for brothers. Somebody came along, Simon came along, and helped Jesus carry the cross. And I said, wow, just like the scapegoat was taken out of the village into the wilderness, Jesus was taken out to be sacrificed, to die for our sins. And then, as I said, then I kept on reading. The Holy Spirit dropped this in the sanctified imagination again. Jesus, Bible said Jesus, after he got baptized, that he went out into the wilderness for 40 days. I said, watch this. So before, on the head of the scapegoat, was taking all the sin of the people of Israel. The scapegoat took their sin into the wilderness. And now, when Jesus, before he can even start his ministry, Jesus goes out into the wilderness. And I begin to wonder, what did Jesus go into the wilderness for? Well, Jesus went into the wilderness so he can collect all the sin. All the sin that was kind of shoved under the rug. All the sin that was put aside. He went into the wilderness and he took my sins. He took your sins. He took the sin of the world. And he came out of that wilderness. Then he went to the cross.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap. That's a good one. Holy Spirit, John, that's Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' blood, the ultimate eraser, that blood that I cancel all of our sins. The Bible says that now, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. In John chapter 1 verse 29, the Bible said the next day John saw Jesus. Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold." Come on, church, you got to help me with that part. That's a good one. "Behold. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came as that sacrificial lamb to take away our sins. Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb to make sure we always come into God's presence with true worship. For he declares in his word, he said, "They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth." So now the people of Israel were given special command because blood has significance. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life in your flesh is driven by the blood you recognize. If you recognize the blood of Jesus, the life in your flesh. If you recognize the blood of Jesus Christ and the power that goes with the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, the life in your flesh will be a display of your recognition of that blood. You will know that there is an ultimate eraser that exists. The blood cleans our souls. It cleanses and washes our soul. Somebody said, "What is the soul?" Your soul are your emotions, your personality. Some of us, every time, if in fact you recognize that the blood of Jesus runs through your veins, you recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ is in your life, your personality and your emotions will display the blood that you recognize. The blood that you recognize in your life, your personality and your emotion will display the blood that you recognize. In other words, if you believe in the blood of Jesus, you believe that Jesus Christ have come down from heaven to earth to die for your sins, you'll act like Jesus. If you believe that his blood has the power to set you free, you will no longer be bound to whatever stuff that you're bound to. If you believe that this blood has this ultimate power that can set you free, be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. The Bible says clearly our condition without God, that we are in a pitiful condition. Romans chapter 23. I'm not going to read it. Have chance, go to Romans chapter 23. Romans chapter 23, verse 10 to 19. It tells us how we are. Our condition with our God is terrible. It says that our mouths can be open graves. Anybody ever bury you with their mouth before? I got to move. I'm watching the clock. Anybody ever bury you with their mouth before? So our condition with our God, it is a pretty, pretty, pretty bad condition. We are pretty jacked up without God. And we need a holy God. We need an ultimate eraser to come and bring us back into relationship with God. I want to say to you today, church, as I prepare to close this message, that God, when he gave his son Jesus Christ, that the blood that was spilled by Jesus Christ, the blood that was given, was not only given for the forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because in the Old Testament, animals, the blood of animals did that.
When the blood of animals were spilled, they were spilled as a sign of forgiveness of the people of God's sin. But the blood of Jesus, according to Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, that Jesus, when he died, he bore our sins. Not only did he bore our sins, but he bore our sickness. So within the spill of the blood of Jesus was your healing. So the ultimate eraser has the component, has the capacity to actually heal your body. But you have to recognize the ultimate eraser. According to Galatians, that when Jesus died and his blood was spilled, he took away the curse of the law. According to Romans chapter 6, that when Jesus died, he took away a body of sin from us, that we may no longer become slaves to sin. Truth of the matter today, church, is there's the ultimate eraser. That ultimate eraser is the blood of Jesus. That ultimate eraser, not only does it bring forgiveness of sins, but that ultimate eraser is your healing. That ultimate eraser, it takes away whatever curse that have been placed upon your life. Some of us, we walk day in and day out. There have been cursed by people in the past that's been placed upon our lives. And we walk around with those curses. But God said today, the ultimate eraser have the capability to eradicate, to abolish, to expunge every curse that's been spoken against you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an amazing God. We thank you for the ultimate eraser, the blood of Jesus. We thank you that in the blood was our forgiveness, our healing, our pain, our sickness, Lord God. They're all in your blood. Father, I pray today that we as your church will recognize the ultimate eraser has been extended to us. That we will live victorious lives, Lord God. Displaying that we have recognized the ultimate eraser. So I pray this morning, God, for that mother, that father, that sister, that brother, who's been looking to you for their healing. I pray, God, that they would just recognize that it's in the blood. Father God, bless us, keep us and hold us. And as we go throughout this week, remind us of the ultimate eraser. We thank you and we praise you. And the people of God say amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap. He's worthy to be praised.